ओम शांति। एक बार सभी प्यार से बोलेंगे ओम शांति। तो आज के इस सत्र की शुरुआत में हमारे बीच में आदरणीय ब्रह्मा कुमार गिरीश भाई जी उपस्थित हैं। मैं आपको परिचित कराना चाहूंगी। आदरणीय ब्रह्मा कुमार गिरीश भाई, ही हैज बीन ए स्टूडेंट ऑफ स्पिरिचुअलिटी एंड राजयोगा मेडिटेशन एट ब्रह्मा कुमारीज फॉर 40 ईयर्स। He has been involved in its many spiritual service activities. He conceptualized, scripted and produced many contents like Eternal Truth, Who I Am, Eternal Truth, God, A Meditation Experience. They all give a clear understanding of soul, God, meditation and deeper aspect of spirituality. He has written a research paper on understanding consciousness. On the professional front, he did his engineering degree in electronics and communication from Mysore University. He has worked in R&Ds for different IT companies like L&T and many medical technologies. He had several research patents during his stint at different companies. And main behno se nivedan karti hu, bhai ji ko batch aur plant dekar welcome karenge aur hum sabhi bhi taaliyon ke dwara आदरणीय ब्रह्मा कुमार गिरीश भाई जी का दिल से बहुत बहुत स्वागत करते हैं, अभिवादन करते हैं। हम सभी सुने हैं और जानते भी हैं कि साइंस एंड स्पिरिचुअलिटी, विज्ञान एवं आध्यात्मिकता, ये दोनों एक दूसरे के परिपूरक हैं, है ना। विज्ञान के बिना आध्यात्मिकता भी पूर्ण नहीं है या आध्यात्मिकता के बिना विज्ञान भी पूर्ण नहीं है। लेकिन जब हम अपनी आध्यात्मिक यात्रा शुरू करते हैं तो उस समय कई ऐसी बातें हम जानने को हमें मिलती है कि जो चीज हम स्कूल कॉलेजों में पढ़े ही नहीं होते हैं, है ना। बहुत सारी बातें जो हम आध्यात्मिकता में सीखते हैं वो स्कूल कॉलेज यूनिवर्सिटी में पढ़ाई नहीं जाती है। तो जब इन बातों को हम सुनते हैं तो हमारे मन में कई सारे सवाल भी आते हैं कि ऐसा कैसे हो सकता है, ये कैसे हो सकता है, ये इसका कुछ साइंटिफिक प्रूफ भी होना चाहिए। तो आज का विषय इसी से संबंधित है, कॉन्शियसनेस एविडेंस फ्रॉम साइंटिफिक मेडिकल एंड स्पिरिचुअल डोमेन्स। इस विषय पर आदरणीय गिरीश भाई जी हमको ज्ञान प्रकाश डालेंगे। उससे पहले हम 3 मिनट प्रभु स्मृति में परमात्मा की याद में बैठेंगे, सुंदर से गीत के साथ परमात्मा पिता को उनका आह्वान करेंगे, उनके ब्लेसिंग्स को अपने अंदर महसूस करेंगे और अपने मन को तैयार करेंगे इन सभी बातों को समझने के लिए, जानने के लिए, महसूस करने के लिए।
हिम्मत का एक कदम बढ़ा, प्रभु मंदिर पर पहुंचा देंगे, सबका बोझ उठाने वाले, सबका बोझ उठाने वाले, तेरा भी बोझ उठा लेंगे। आ हिम्मत का एक कदम बढ़ा, प्रभु मंजिल पर पहुंचा देंगे। प्रभु को जिसने साथी माना, समझो उसने प्रभु को जाना, मुश्किल नहीं है कुछ भी उसको शेष नहीं, कुछ उसको पाना, भर के उमंगों से हाथ उठा ले, भर के उमंगों से हाथ उठा ले, प्रभु कंधों पे बिठा लेंगे। आ हिम्मत का एक कदम बढ़ा, प्रभु मंजिल पर पहुंचा देंगे।
आज अपने मन के सारी बोझ, सारे शोक परमात्मा को अर्पित कर दें।
मन से मन की तार मिला, आशाओं के फूल खिला। याद न कर जो बीत चला, शुभ संकल्पों के दीप जला, शुभ संकल्पों के दीप जला, शुभ संकल्पों के दीप जला। सुन के भान मिला तुम आओ, तन के भान मिला तुम आओ, प्रभु नैया पार लगा देंगे। आ हिम्मत का एक कदम बढ़ा, प्रभु मंजिल पर पहुंचा देंगे। सोच न कर तू शोक ना कर, रेती के भरांदों के खातिर व्यर्थ गवाना, अनमोल आंसू माटी के खिलौनों के खातिर, मैं और मेरा त्याग जरा तू, मैं और मेरा त्याग जरा तू, वो सौभाग्य जगा देंगे। आ हिम्मत का एक कदम बढ़ा, प्रभु मंजिल पर पहुंचा देंगे। सबका बोझ उठाने वाले, सबका बोझ उठाने वाले, तेरा भी बोझ उठा लेंगे। आ हिम्मत का एक कदम बढ़ा, प्रभु मंजिल पर पहुंचा देंगे।
ओम शांति। तो आइए हम सभी एक कदम बढ़ाते हैं आध्यात्मिकता की ओर, और आदरणीय गिरीश भाई जी से हम जानेंगे कि कॉन्शियसनेस के साइंटिफिक स्पिरिचुअल डोमेन्स क्या क्या हैं, उसको हम समझेंगे। आदरणीय गिरीश भाई जी।
ओम शांति, गुड इवनिंग। थोड़ा मुझे लग रहा था कि ऐसे ही गाना चलते रहेंगे तो और भी बहुत अच्छा होता है ये कॉन्शियसनेस सुनने के बदले, क्योंकि द सिस्टर वॉज बिल्डिंग द कॉन्शियसनेस इन अस, ना इतना अच्छा ऊंचा कॉन्शियसनेस बिल्डअप कर रहे थे। आप भी सोच रहे होंगे इतने इस टाइम में क्या सुनना, ये गाना सुनते रहेंगे तो और भी अच्छा रहेगा। फिर भी जस्ट वॉन्टेड टू नो हाउ मेनी ऑफ यू वुड हैव थॉट अबाउट कॉन्शियसनेस एंड देन वुड हैव स्टडीड, नाउ दैट देर इज इंटरनेट यूट्यूब एक्सेट्रा, हाउ मेनी ऑफ यू वुड हैव गॉट इंटरेस्टेड इन इट एंड देन यू नो एक्सप्लोर्ड टू अंडरस्टैंड कॉन्शियसनेस। जस्ट आई एम इंटरेस्टेड। ओके ओके सी नो लाइक द कॉन्शियसनेस व्हेन वी से इट्स अबाउट अवेयरनेस इन इट्स सिंपलेस्ट फॉर्म, साइंटिस्ट हैव इन्वेंटेड एवरीथिंग एंड डिस्कवर्ड एवरीथिंग एंड देन बाई 1960s आई थिंक ऑलमोस्ट वॉट एवर वी द ह्यूमैनिटी हैड टू इन्वेंट एंड डिस्कवर इट वॉज डन, एक्सेप्ट फॉर इंटरनेट मे बी, एंड इंटरनेट ऑल्सो हैड इट्स सीड्स एट दैट स्टेज। But then, this one thing called consciousness remained a mystery since many, many centuries, not just decades. The question is, where from this consciousness has been arising? See, the way, like, you know, why we behave the way we behave, why we think the way we think, where the thoughts arise, you know, how do we plan everything, how all these traits are there in the human beings, who is responsible for that? Is it the brain or something else? This has been the subject of curiosity by everyone, and then it has been going on for centuries. Okay, and then if you say, you know, this is the question, and then after this, all are, you know, trying to understand, led by the neuroscientists, the neurosurgeons, neurologists, anesthesiologists, and then all the medicos, doctors, scientists, and then on the other side, the philosophers, spiritualists, intellectuals, thinkers, all are, you know, of course, psychologists and psychiatrists, all are just wondering where from these traits in the human beings are arising. Is it the brain or something else? That's what we will be exploring tonight. So, you know, let's explore the relation. Like in our schools and colleges, we studied physics, chemistry on one side, and then we studied biology, botany on other side. On the, in the biological side, we were taught that the cells are the fundamental, fundamental building blocks. On the science side, on the other side, physics and chemistry side, we were taught that atoms and molecules are the fundamental building blocks. And then, is there a connection between them? We never thought about it because we always thought that those two are separate, and that's what would have been there in our minds. And then that's what we will understand now. What is the relation between these three, you know, physical, physiological, and spiritual? First of all, when we say, you know, science or medical science or neuroscience or whatever it is, there is nothing like a spiritual in their dictionary. In science, we were never taught about spirituality. So, you know, let us start with this, with this point that as per science, there doesn't exist something called spirituality. Okay. So, just we will be, going through these phrases. One is entity, astitva, that, you know, like astitva, what we call as, and then there is sentience, what we call as chetana, and then consciousness, prajna. With these definitions, with this understanding, we will continue. So, the first thing is, see, whether our body, which is made of all these organs, whether it is sentient or consciousness is there in that, whether life is there in that. You see, you will agree that all these materials which we are seeing here, this mic, this cloth, these spectacles, the stones outside, and then all these materials which we are seeing, we all agree that there is no consciousness in them. It has no living characteristics. Which means, if we just break it down completely, we will end up with atoms and molecules. That's what we are taught in our schools and colleges. So, of course, that's the case. Electrons, protons, neutrons, atoms, molecules. We will call them basic physical particles. That's what they are made of. Which means, if these physical particles make up something, those something, that also will not have consciousness. That means these particles make up the cells in the body. These particles make up the neuronal cells in the brain. We can easily conclude that even those entities will not have any consciousness. So the cells in the body, it is looking so nice, but it is not like that. And then the upper one, that is the So if you see the neuronal cells is there, neuron is there, and then on the left side you will have atoms and molecules. They are good drawings, but they don't look like that in reality. They are all made of fundamental particles which are not having consciousness. So we can deduce easily that none of these things are having life characteristics, or that they are not having consciousness. So to say that cells are living or non-living, dead cells, is somewhat incorrect. We can at best say functioning cells, non-functioning cells, and then, you know, dysfunctional cells. We can tell like that, but they are not living as such. What is life? That's what we will come later. So, the absence of intelligence entity in the brain. See, the thing is, you know, like the brain is made of neuronal cells, wonderful organ this brain is. We should all study it. Though we may not be related to medicine or neuroscience, we should study it. It's a wonderful organ, the brain. So it is made of what is called as nerve cell. It receives information from up to 2 lakh neurons, and then it will transfer that information up to 10,000 neurons. And when we say information, these basic physical particles will be traversing through these cells. And in the cell, that's a very interesting thing, 72 millivolts of voltage traverses along that neuronal cell. So what people say is there are some 86 billion neurons in the brain, 86 billion neurons, and there are trillions of connections. And neuroscience says that somehow with these tremendous number of activities in the brain, somehow thoughts come out, somehow mind is a product of brain, and then somehow consciousness arises due to tremendous number of interactions happening in the brain. But is it so? That's what we will find out. So then the brain is often compared to a computer or a microprocessor. We know that in a microprocessor or a computer, there are inputs and then there are outputs, and then there is something called program which is sitting, which will decide what should be the output when for a set of inputs. There are so many regions in the brain, but there is nothing called an intelligence entity. There is no evidence of such kind of a entity. So, we are all subjected to tremendous number of inputs all the time. We hear, we see, we are subjected to touch, smell, etc. But is there any program sitting in the brain which will decide what we should be doing, how we should be reacting? I will be standing here, everything is the same, but then for no reason I will drink water, for no reason I will eat something, for no reason I will take a stroll, and then we have our own likes and dislikes. So there is nothing like a response which is programmed in the brain. There is no evidence like that, and then it is impossible because we are subjected to various kinds of inputs every minute. Forget, every minute we are subjected to so many inputs. So a program can never have a understanding that we should be doing so such and such a thing for such and such a input. It is impossible. So this is the second point. And then third point, very interesting. We are going to go through the life of one doctor, a neurosurgeon. Neurosurgeon is supposed to be the highest and the highest pedestal in the medical domain. There is a father of a neurosurgery. His name is Dr. Wilder Penfield. He was born in 1891, and then from 1935, he started conducting brain surgeries. He is the architect of what is called as brain mapping. He started it. You can search in internet. And then he was the one who established what is called as Montreal Protocol. Between these 1935 and 1965, he conducted 2,000 number of surgeries. And among them were 700 epileptic surgeries. At the end of all those surgeries, he wrote his findings in a book called Mystery of the Mind. Just note down the title. Very interesting. A Critical Study of Consciousness and the Human Brain. In that, he writes so many of his findings. What he says is, brain, is in such a way that the only way we can understand about the brain is we have to consider brain with two entities, one brain as such and then another mind, both having their own independent energies and one making use of the another. Mind is making use of the brain, and only then can we explain the correct understanding of the brain. That's what he says. And he conducts some very interesting experiments during the course of these surgeries. What happens is when they conduct the surgeries, they will give local anesthesia to the head, remove the scalp. The patient is very much conscious. He is very much conscious. During that time, they will be removing some of the extra growth in the brain. And during those times, this neurosurgeon conducted some experiments. He gave some electric currents within the brain. You all know that brain is nothing but it will be producing electric field all the time. So that's why this EEG is there, which will measure the electric field in the brain. So a lot of currents will be flowing in the brain and the electric field will be there. And then what he thought, like, you know, he studied those patients by giving some electrical stimulation. So what he does is, see, this is the what it is, like, you know, just a picture of how the brain surgery looks like. So when the person is undergoing brain surgery, he doesn't have any idea of what is happening in his brain, what the doctors are doing, that is not there, because he is blindfolded, and a team of doctors will be doing their job. Now this doctor, this neurosurgeon, gives current somewhere, the hand moves. The doctor asks the patient, "You are moving your hand." The patient says, I didn't do it, you did it. See, just imagine what is happening there. And the doctor gives the current at some other part of the brain, and then he says, and then the patient starts talking something, blabbering something. And then the doctor asks, "You are speaking something?" The patient says, "I didn't make that sound. You pulled it out of me." Just note the words, you know. "I didn't make that sound, and then you pulled it out of me." How the patient knows that somebody is pulling the sound out of his mouth? And another interesting thing is, how come that the patient knows that doctor is responsible for this? Okay? And this is where this neurosurgeon was perplexed, and then he was thinking, who is talking? Whether the brain is talking, or other than brain, somebody is talking. You know, who is answering? It was not one-off incident. There were 700 such surgeries, out of which there were 1,500 such experiments, and there was no false positive. Everyone responded in the same way. Very interesting. And this doctor was perplexed as to who is talking here. When I give the current, the patient is talking something, he is moving his hands and legs. But when I don't give currents, and then I will tell him to move his hands and legs, and then I ask him to speak, he is speaking. During that time, who is giving the current? Is there somebody who is giving current inside? That's his question. And these are the, you know, very interesting thoughts that crosses his mind. And he says, and then he continues his experiment, and then he says, all over the brain he gave electrical stimulation, but he couldn't elicit what is called as mind and its activities. Mind means thinking function. Nobody is told, "I am thinking like this." See, the current is given, nobody says, "I want to go here, I want to go there, apple fell, you know, I want to drive a car." Nobody tells like that. And then, you know, it's like that he couldn't elicit in the brain. And then he says there is no place in that brain where the electrical stimulation will make a patient change his decision or his beliefs. They remain intact. Thinking, decision making, and then beliefs. These three couldn't be changed by the brain stimulation. That was his findings. And then he studies the children, how a baby is born, how that, you know, like there is a curiosity in the baby to learn everything, walking, you know, like it walks, it stands up, walks, falls down, walks, that, and then to learn something, you know, all those things. And then he also thinks about how peace, happiness is built up in the human beings. Everything he verifies, he studies, and then he says that brain is made in such a way that it can do only the same thing repeatedly, but it cannot do new things. Somebody should be doing new things through the brain. That's what his conclusion was. And in the end, he writes this. Please read this. Very interesting. What a thrill it is then to discover that the scientist too can legitimately believe in the existence of the spirit. These are the words of that neurosurgeon. People ask for some kind of evidence, some kind of proofs, and then what better proof can we have? You know, the world-class neurosurgeon is telling like this. And you just imagine, after 1857, when Darwin stated this evolution theory, believing God, believing spirit was a taboo. It was considered utterly unscientific. And then especially when doctors or some scientists tell like this, it's believed all the more unscientific. But here, boldly, this doctor, this neurosurgeon, writes this in his book, in that book, somewhere in 1970s. You know, so very interesting that these are never taught in our textbooks. These are never told in many magazines. And that's there in that book. And like, you know, somebody says, no, that was in 1970s, technology has grown, that, this and all. But technology may have advanced, but human beings remain the same. And here in 2025, last year, exactly 1 year ago, a doctor called, he is a neurosurgeon again, Michael Legner. He like announced in the conference of science and faith that soul exists. And then he studied, his basis was, you know, like a series of MRI images where there is a very little brain or no brain in some cases, but the person is normal. How come this can happen? If the brain is, like most of the brain is missing, how come the person is normal? These things are there in the YouTube, we can watch it. And then he also endorses whatever Penfield had done in those decades. So he endorses Penfield and then he says it's all true. And, you know, there are a lot of unexplained phenomena. You know, like you would have gone through this in your, in many magazines. There is this, I will not cover everything, but, you know, there is something called out-of-body experience and near-death experience where a person is, crosses this body, goes out of the body, sees his own body. His operation is being conducted and then he's watching his own surgery from the above. He goes out of the building, goes beyond this world, meets some light and then comes back. And after they come back, they are a totally changed people. They when they meet them, when they meet the light, it's a totally different experience. It's an overwhelming experience of peace and happiness. That light is the source of all that, virtues. And, in our daily life, we would have seen plants. Many of you will be growing plants. If you give positive thoughts, it will grow very healthily. If you, curse it, it will wilt. And then thinking and attitude of the person either results in the acceleration of the healing of diseases or, results in a medical condition. If there is no disease, continuous thinking of something will cause that condition. But, there is one more very interesting thing. I will be going a little fast now because, we will have some small exercise in the end. That's the reason. Somewhere in 100 years ago, when quantum experiments were going on, there was a scientist of the order of the League of Albert Einstein, and then that was Erwin Schrödinger. You would all have heard of about him. He writes a book, What is Life? The Physical Aspect of the Living Cell with Mind and Matter. See, look at the title, the way he is writing. And in that book, he says, he studies the cells in the body. The cells are made of all these particles, physical particles. What he says is, these physical particles, electrons, protons, neutrons, etc., when you put them, when you bundle them together and then leave them, they will scatter. They won't live at one place. If you apply them some kind of force, they will be there for some time and then they will, just scatter around. Here in the cells of the body, all these particles are moving in perfect, synchronization. How come it is possible? What energy is making these particles move like that in the bodily cells? That was his question. And then he applies all the, physics theories, postulates, laws, etc., etc. And then he comes to the conclusion that none of these things will be able to make those particles move so harmoniously in the bodily cells. And then in the end, he comes to a very beautiful conclusion. He says, there's the cell and then, with all the particles. So in the end, he says, the only possible inference is, I think, just note that letter I, how much he is in a predicament. I think that I in the widest meaning of the word, that is to say, every conscious mind that has ever said or felt I am the person, if any, who controls the motion of the atoms according to the laws of nature. So, very clearly he says in the book, because the soul is in the body, with the soul's, power, these bodily cells are working this way, and then there is no other reason it will be working like this. So, these are the words of Erwin Schrödinger, a much acclaimed scientist, quantum scientist. And then we will come to one of the beautiful, discoveries in the last century. And then that is between the quantum and the consciousness. Everyone will be talking about quantum computer these days. What is a quantum? Quantum is nothing but a building block. the basic building blocks of this universe. There are some 33 particles, electrons, protons, neutrons, mesons, quarks, something, which I also don't remember all of the 33. They are the building blocks of this world. The whole world is made of such particles. And is there any relation between them and us? That is the question. Now, these are the, these materials, they will be here. Whether I observe them or I don't observe them, it will be there like that for however many number of years it takes, even thousands of years. But very interesting things happen. There is what is called as double slit experiment, where light is passing through two slits and then they fall on the screen. It was expected that if this is the case, there should be two bands of light. Newton told that, light is a particle. 100 years later, one more scientist, Thomas Young, told, no, light is a wave. His experiment was exactly this. He conducted this experiment. By the way, how many of you are from physics or botany or, if I'm wrong somewhere, you please correct. So, this was the expected thing. But 1800, when Thomas Young conducted, he got a series of white and dark bands. So, this was typical of a wave property. He says light is a wave. And somewhere in 1920s, 100 years ago, when this experiment, when the technology developed, and then they wanted to detect how the light is passing through the slit, they place a detector behind the slit. See, light has already passed through the slit, and there he keeps the detector. And this detector is connected to the computer, and then the computer is connected to a magnetic tape. See, there is a computer. Suppose this is the read and write head. It is writing into the magnetic tape. You can just watch here, me. It is writing into the magnetic tape. And you can just watch me at this time, because I will be telling something. It is writing into the magnetic tape. When the magnetic tape is there, and then the data is being written into the magnetic tape, the pattern that is observed on the screen is of this particle, that is two bands. But the moment the magnetic tape is taken out, and then only the read-write head is working, it gives a wave pattern. So how come this is happening? That was the question. Now, not just for this light, the same behavior is observed with all the basic physical particles, be it electrons, protons, neutrons, atoms, ions, molecules, you name it, all the physical particles behave in the same way. When observed, they will behave as particles. When not observed, they will behave as a wave. And then what is the meaning of this wave? They say wave is a probability, information. Information, probability doesn't have a physical existence. It's not a physical. You can't relate it to any physical thing. It's a phenomena. But how come the particle is behaving as a wave? And then what is the meaning of behaving as a wave? These are questions that haunts scientists at that time. And that's where it stops. But, in 1927, 29 eminent scientists, they all meet at what is called a Solvay conference to only deliberate on this one. And many of these scientists, you can see all the brilliant scientists here, starting from Albert Einstein, Max Planck, many people. And they all believe, a good number of them believe that there is something called consciousness coming into the play. There is an effect of consciousness on the experiment. But then, scientists don't accept all these things very easily. They change the narrative. Two people, Heisenberg and Niels Bohr, they change the narrative. They say it's observer effect. You measure one and then you will not be able to measure something. Like that they will say, and then come up with something called observer effect. And but the truth is, many of those scientists were perplexed by this phenomena. There are many flavors of this experiment. They come to the, many of them personally, they come to the conclusion that there is a effect of consciousness in that, and then they start looking towards East. They study Veda, Upanishads and all, and then they thinking that answers will be here. So, and then in last decade, one online double slit experiment was conducted where a scientist called Dean Radin, makes a setup like this. There is a laser light, and then there is a double slit, and then there is a screen, and then he asks some 500 Buddhist monks. Why? Because they are very honest and then they are very focused. They have to think in their minds that light is, they have to log in they have to think in their minds for some 10 minutes that they are not interested in this experiment. For the next 10 minutes, they have to think that light is passing through one of the slit. And then truly, when the results were seen, for the first 10 minutes, light acts as a wave, and then for the next 10 minutes, it acts as a particle. Now, how come this will have any relevance with whatever we are discussing? That's what we will find out in the next few minutes. So we can say it's a quantum mystery which has remained still now. Many scientists try to argue that there is nothing called a consciousness here. But if you study all the experimental flavors thoroughly, you will see that it's not yet resolved, and there is an effect of consciousness in that. So now we will come quickly to some conclusion that all these particles, they behave as particles, which means there will be some kind of predictability in them when we observe or measure or when we give attention to them. And they behave as waves. When we say wave, it's like scattering. There is nothing like predictability there. It's a random state of their particles. And we can surmise like that. And then consciousness influences irrespective of distance. And then we can deduce that materialistic perspective, the brain cannot create the consciousness. And then our experiences, we have to embrace and contemplate the possibility of some non-physical entity. See, these people like Max Planck and then Erwin Schrödinger, they all told there is something called non-physical, immaterial, such entities exist, and then that is beyond the physical things. They all told like that, but not all scientists will accept what some scientists say, because scientists also have got their own ... And we can always say that metaphysical entity, when we talk about some metaphysical phenomena, we can't always talk in terms of physical viewpoint. We can't be always talk it in terms of physical viewpoint. If soul is there, show me the proof. If God is there, show me the proof. See, we can't show the proof of the existence of the air unless we feel it. So these non-physical phenomena are ruled out. So now we will go to the next thing. Now we will conclude that science stops here. This is where science stops making any meaningful contribution to all these things. And then this is where spirituality starts. So whatever we are going to discuss now cannot be explained from the scientific viewpoint. Whatever we are going to discuss now is totally from spiritual viewpoint. Spirituality starts now. And now we can say, so there has to be some entity who will create consciousness. So consciousness, we all know, we have consciousness now, as of now, and then we are conscient human beings. Now, who is the creator of that consciousness? So soul has to be. Now, it's not a philosophy of faith, it's a fact. We can deduce this fact. So the soul is telling, you would have gone through this lesson today morning. Soul is telling that this is me and this is I, the soul. Soul is sitting exactly at the center of the eyebrows here and a little bit behind it. And then from there, soul is doing all the activities. And one of the aim, purpose of this session will be to practically experience the self as the soul. So, and then the soul is telling, when we are speaking, it's we, the souls, who are speaking. We create thoughts, see, hear, breath, talk, and do all the activities from that place. So we can, with this knowledge, we can practically experience ourselves that way. And the soul is the one who is creating thoughts. That process of creating thoughts is called mind. The soul is making decisions. That ability is called intellect. The soul is performing karma through the body, and then karma results in what we call as sanskars or impressions, latent tendencies, or we call them as the subconscious. So, the soul as such is always conscious. From the bodily point of view, we can say consciousness or unconsciousness. But as such, soul is always conscious. Whether the person is unconscious from the outside, inside the soul is always conscious. And then there are many, many, many evidence these days where the persons who were thought to be totally unconscious for a very long time were in fact listening to the others' conversations. And then they tell one day that, this is what had happened. And then these have startled many neurosurgeons. And then there are no explanations for many of the phenomena taking place in this world. And what is soul? Soul is a point of light. And then when we just enlarge it for the purpose of clarity, three things are going on. That is thinking, decision making, and sanskars. And these things are happening simultaneously. It's not that one will happen another, one will happen after the other. These are all happening simultaneously. And then now we will come to the definition of consciousness. So if you look at the definition of consciousness, there are 325 plus theories in the world to say what consciousness is, and then there is no agreement so far. So we can very clearly and then very simply come to the definition of consciousness from the spiritual perspective. See, it's not that spiritual perspective is different from us. We are spiritual beings, and then it should be our own perspectives in the end. So the consciousness is the result of all current and previous activities of the soul. My thinking, my decision making, my karma and sanskar formed. That includes everything, like experiences, feelings, emotions, outlook, mindset, everything. These all together form consciousness, and then it is the soul who creates consciousness. Just want to tell that soul and consciousness, they are not synonyms. They are not synonyms. Soul creates consciousness. Consciousness means prajna, the awareness. So we talk of, emotional quotient, intelligence quotient, planning, virtues, values, leadership, all these aspects, all these traits or attributes are an aspects of soul and not the brain. Brain is only a passive organ, and then these are all the aspects of soul and not the brain. So, these are the way if we change our language this way, we will be able to understand better. I am a soul. When I say I am, it means I am a soul. And then I have consciousness rather than I am conscious. I have energy rather than saying I myself I am an energy. And then addressing soul as he or him will give a better understanding and perspective of what soul means. And when we say soul, if we are asked 1,000 times, what is soul? What is soul? What is soul? The answer is always soul. It's soul, soul, soul. That's it. Soul, there is no other alternative word for soul. There may be different words in different languages like atma, psyche, etc., etc., but ruh. But soul is a soul. We have to understand myself as a soul in the same way, by contemplation, by meditation, by thinking, and by reflection. So just as we say body is the body, table is the table, sofa is sofa, in the same way, soul is a soul, thought is a thought, mind is a mind. So there is a physical realm in this world, and then there is a spiritual realm, and then physical realm is all that is physical particles and then physical energies, and the spiritual realm is all about souls and the soul's characteristics like thinking, decision making. So we should not be, when we say energy, we should not be confusing with some physical energies like radiation, E is equal to mc squared. These are all often dealt with consciousness and quantum lectures at many places. We should not be confusing between them. They are different. Soul is a soul with his own characteristics. Particles are particles with their energies separately. One is physical, another is spiritual. They may be, there will be influence of each other. Spiritual domains, I, the soul, influence the particles, and I get influenced by the particles. So, then, how the soul-brain interface takes place? So brain may be a very highly complicated organ, but it is a passive organ. There is no awareness in the brain itself as such. Just like all these things don't have awareness of their own, even the brain has no awareness of its own. But the fundamental characteristic of a soul is to express himself. We all want to express, and that's why soul comes into brain, and then it will take the brain as the medium and then operates this body. So the brain, we can say, is to do with transfer of expressions from soul to body, and then translation of inputs from body to soul. So, how to give the analogy? See, there is a magnet and the magnetic field. We all know this. The iron particles align themselves in the magnetic field. In the same way, I am a soul here, and around me is the spiritual field. Now you know, like there is a spiritual field around me in which all these particles are aligned according to my consciousness as this body. Why these two eyes, two legs, two hands, one nose? That's how the nature is made of. That's how these particles are aligned. They make up cells and then cells into tissues, tissues into organs. That's how the body is made as per nature. The way it is running is soul's spiritual field is affecting all these particles. And the analogy is that of magnet and the magnetic field. Now you remember that, you know, like what we discussed a while ago, that is a double slit experiment where consciousness influences the matter. So there is an evidence there. So the soul, with his consciousness, is influencing this body. And then the converse is also true. I, the soul, am getting influenced by the structure of this body and the brain. But as such, brain itself is not at all a living being or a living thing, or there is no consciousness in the brain, nor consciousness arises out of brain. It is purely an aspect of the soul. So, you know, like in the brain, there are movements of particles. We call them neuronal firing. There are so many things going on. So soul is influencing the brain, and then brain from the brain again the soul will get influenced. Soul will directly influence himself. Soul will influence all the other organs through the neuromuscular activity, and then the converse is also true. So what is sleep? Like, you know, if you see in the, like, it may be very interesting to know that scientists are not able to understand what the sleep means. What the sleep means, because they are subjecting the human beings to tremendous number of experiments to understand what the sleep is, how the sleep is affected. But it's very simple. Soul has got the characteristics to be detached while being in the body, to be, you know, like detached from the feelings of the body, and then soul can remember and then forget. These are all the traits of the soul which happens in sleep. And then the same thing happens in the state of anesthesia, where it is induced sleep by some external agent. We could have discussed all these things for much more time, but there is a, like, we will have to conclude within some time. So then we will go through quickly from the bottom. Human body is an amazing machine with wonderful organs and unparalleled complexity. Of them all, brain is perhaps the most mysterious, not the most complicated, but more mysterious, because soul is residing there. And then now you can think what the soul is. So the synonym for the soul is life, prana, what we call as. Prana is another name for the soul, atma. The soul keeps the cells functioning. Soul's consciousness influences cells functioning. See, this movement of particles from one to another part of the body, they're all done by soul's consciousness. So, and then the healing of diseases. See, some people, you will see, some people, the tumors get healed without any treatment. Why? Because the consciousness is resulting in the reshuffling of the particles of the body. The, you know, everything happens. And then when the soul leaves the body, everything disintegrates. The cells are not working as cells. They are just in a bundle of particles that are getting dismantled from their places in the body. So now we will see how the entire universe is organized, how the nature is organized. At the bottom of the pyramid are these particles, which make up all the particles and materials and the bodies. And then air, panchatattva, what we call, they are all panchatattva, and then the energy called this fire, they are all made of all these particles only. And the soul, which means the soul is directly acting on the particles. The soul is directly acting on the particles, and this we can experiment and experience in on day-to-day basis. So I may think, you know, like, I will heal myself, why all these medicines are required, I will do something unthinkable, etc., etc. But we are always being bound by the law of karma and the laws of nature. This is always acting. That's what is the relation between these three: spiritual, physical, and physiological. Now, what is that realization? Got it, I found the secrets of life, all right. But what is that I will be learning today? The thing is, my past consciousness decided my present and the past. Now my present consciousness will decide my present and future. What consciousness I harbor this moment, I develop this second, and then sustain this consciousness, what all things I sustain, that will decide my present and the future. This is very, very important. We know that those particles are passive things. If at all somebody is making them work, it is me, the soul. And then my consciousness is very important. How I build my consciousness, how I develop my consciousness, it is left in my hands. It is not in anybody's hands. See, we may be not able to do many things in life because of some kind of compulsions. I cannot do the thing which I want to do. I may be limited by so many things. I want to go there, but it's not possible. I want to sit there. It may not be possible. But what I am going to think is in my hands. And the thinking is a major factor in the way we develop our consciousness. So these are things I will skip actually. There are many realizations, and then there are different ways to change our consciousness. There is a book you can go through. And then soul consciousness is the highest form of consciousness. We call mindfulness, etc., etc. But above all is the soul consciousness, much higher than mindfulness. Mindfulness is being aware of myself, mindful of myself. But much above that is the soul consciousness, which surpasses all forms of consciousness. And the facts are that, soul is the one who is hearing through the ears, and then speaking through the mouth, and then seeing through the eyes. Just watch this picture a little bit carefully. There is a point of light, soul seated behind the eyes. That soul is looking the object. And whatever object is there, that information is coming through the eyes, through the brain, and then converging into the soul. And not brain is not the end by itself. It is the soul in which all this information is getting converged. Soul will decide, not the brain. Brain will give some platform to the soul to act, but it is the soul who will be deciding. We are all souls who we will be judging and making decisions. And they say eyes are windows to the soul. So the soul is seated behind, and then this is the way, when you were all coming through to this place on the road, that's what you would have seen through your eyes. And all the souls are connected wherever they are in this world, and then we are all connected to one God. And now to practice. See, for some time, just watch this picture. There is a photo there. If soul were to be captured by X-ray or the photo or the MRI or the camera or anything, it would have been like this. So inside this head, behind the center of the eyebrows, I am seated. Just think over. And as we are sitting here, we are all thinking. As we are seated here, we are all thinking. Just observe your own thoughts. Observe your own thoughts. Where are they arising? If there is a smoke, I know from which fire the smoke is arising. If there is a sound, I know the source of that sound. In the same way, thoughts are there. Just give yourself some time. Find out where the thoughts are arising. Either you close your eyes or open your eyes. We want to know everything in this world, but what about my own thoughts? Where are they coming from? Where are they arising? Just 2 minutes. Observe them. Find out the source. And with some practice, I will be able to find the source of that thought. Some spot behind this, you will be able to find out with some practice. You keep up this practice. And it is arising because that's where I, the soul, am seated. The thoughts will not come from somewhere else or from anywhere else. It should be coming from me, the soul. And which means that spot is the place, that is that spot where I, the soul, am sitting. And now, I am not here to observe my thoughts. I should take control and create thoughts. I should take control of myself and create the thoughts I want. Are some thoughts came like this, some thoughts came like that? No. No more such helpless situations. Now, like, focus at that spot. I have to realize that that's where I am seated. And then start creating the thoughts, whatever you want to create. The thoughts that I am a soul, I am a peaceful soul, I am a blissful soul, I am a happy soul, I am a pure soul, I am a powerful soul. And about God, He is the ocean of knowledge, ocean of love, mercy. And then about other souls, all souls are my own brothers and sisters. So whatever it is, those thoughts. And then thoughts about your own karma, you know, what I have to do. I have to do so and so. We can't keep creating only these thoughts. We have to work, and then we will create our own thoughts. I will say I have to go and then do this work, etc., etc. All these things we were creating. Now it's time to create from that spot. Just focus on that spot and then create at that spot. That's when thoughts assume power, lot of power. If you create some thoughts repeatedly, there will be power in that. They manifest in many ways. Now you create from that spot, as such thoughts are created from that spot, but I'm not aware of that. Now with the awareness, create the thoughts there and see what happens in the life. And when interacting with others, during our interaction with others, with the same consciousness that the way I am operating this body seated here, others are also operating their bodies seated in their places. They are seated in their places. So just look at like that. For a moment, as you are sitting, just look around. Look at everyone. Take a look, you know. The people who are in the front can stand up and then look everyone. Just look with this consciousness. Think with this consciousness that all are souls. And they are all seated here, and then this face, okay, no, it's that's what is visible, but the person is entirely different. The person is seated inside and then he is doing that. And from there we will remember God. It's as if God we are connected to. We listen one daily version. We have to consider ourselves as soul. We have to understand ourselves as soul. And then remember the Supreme Soul. This is what is it. It is. Think over, and then we can have many offline discussions starting from tomorrow. And then, if you have got any questions, you can write to that email ID or WhatsApp. I will be happy to answer. And then there is an e-book, Understanding Consciousness, so which covers all these things. You can download it from there. And with this awareness that I create my consciousness, I am the creator of my thoughts. I don't allow them to slip. And then I create my thoughts, and then I create my consciousness and destiny. So with this we will conclude. Good night. Om Shanti.
आदरणीय गिरीश भाई जी का दिल से बहुत बहुत थैंक्स. हम सभी को कॉन्शियसनेस के बारे में तो हम सुन रहे थे, सोल के बारे में सुन रहे थे, लेकिन उसके साइंटिफिक, मेडिकल एंड स्पिरिचुअल डोमेन्स को हम सभी को बताकर और ही स्पष्ट हुआ ना सभी को, ताकि हम उसको मेडिटेशन में भी विजुअलाइज करना और महसूस करना और ईजी होगा. इसलिए भाई जी का दिल से बहुत बहुत थैंक्स. सभी एक बार एक हाथ हिलाकर भी हम भाई जी का थैंक्स करते हैं. और अभी हम 3 मिनट के लिए परमात्मा की याद में बैठेंगे, परमात्मा पिता का भी थैंक्स करेंगे.